one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I am DT, and this is episode 59. Oh, man, 59?
59.
Mike.
Sounds good to me. Almost 60.
60.
I don't know if you want to be personally 60, but I can say almost, almost 60. And the episode lane is a beautiful thing.
You know, man, today I'm inspired by the One Mic, One Voice show. Just thinking back on the guests we've had, the different, you know, types of conversations we've had on this show, man, I'm like, really? You know, in your words, really?
Yeah, in my words.
it's just so fascinating, you know, the demographic and dynamic differences of people we've brought together on this show.
Yeah.
And I mean, just, you know, here we stand a year later, still doing it and still being able to build a collective conscious, you know, as I always smile when I hear you say that when
absolutely.
We get started.
Absolutely. And you're so right. The diversity of voices we've had from pro football players to famous actress, you know, to musicians, to social activists. I mean, to, you know, professors and religious leaders and you know, even with the international element and component to the show, it's been amazing.
And so there's one thing that you can't say about the One Mic, One Voice show is that we're one sided.
No.
We definitely have shown some balance here and definitely have tried our best to bring in the best minds we can to, you know, help push these conversations forward.
Absolutely. And today's show, I mean, you know, the title of the day's show is The Fight to Vote. The Fight to Vote. Because I think, you know, given the political climate in which we have, in which we are in, and what we have seen transition over this electoral period, man, I to say we're divided is an understatement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wanted to come back and have a serious conversation about this idea of voting. And then, you know, on our One Mic Minute, we talked about the responsibility of voting,
right,
and how important that is. But when you look historically, DT, at what we face, and I'm talking about not just, you know, black people, mm-hmm. but women in general. I mean, women didn't get the right to vote until 1920, right? And so we want to look today at this, the importance of voting, man. I hear so many people say this: well, I don't like either candidate, so I'm not going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've heard somebody even say they're not worthy of my vote. I'm thinking, like,
worried.
You're really not that special. You know what I mean? I just think it's funny to look at it like that and not to look at it as, man, this civil, you know, right, this constitutional right, this right in a democracy and as a human being to voice your opinion for the highest office in our land. And we do this every 4 years. And for people to take it for granted, I think it's a shame. And so I want to go really down history lane, if we could, because voting is bigger than Clinton or Trump. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's not the only time we're going to vote. Okay.
Right. It's not only the last one.
Absolutely. It's bigger than one election. It's bigger than voting on the local level or the state level or the national level. It's bigger than that, man. It's about the history in which folks have fought to have the right to walk in there and to be seen as human. Animals don't vote, do they?
No.
Okay. We, you know, I mean, Rover. Rover doesn't go in there and get a ballot and vote, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Human beings, you know, cognitive beings should have the right to vote. And so, folks, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to get deep into this thing called the fight to vote. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Hi, I'm Professor Jim Smith from Southern Nazarene University, and I just want to put a plug in for One Mic, One Voice. I've learned so much from the discussions that they put out there, and I couldn't recommend a better podcast.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. This thing called slavery, okay? We all know it. We've all heard it. I should say that people have heard it. I don't know if they know it. But a slave couldn't vote. A slave had no rights.
Was not considered a citizen of the United States.
Was not even considered a human being. Was considered property with the inability to reason and think. A matter of fact, a slave was simply a servant, meaning one that would take orders and do whatever their master please. And so, but during slavery, you have these things called the slave codes.
So yeah, slave codes were state laws established to determine the status of slaves and the rights of their owners. Slave codes place harsh restrictions on slaves already limited freedoms, often in order to preempt rebellion or escape, or gave slave owners absolute power over their slaves. Wow. So what is that saying, Mike? Even if you were in another state, had been freed, these slave codes could allow the master to come back and take possession of you as, like you said earlier, property, and bring you back into to slavery, so to speak.
Even if you got away,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and realize that slave codes were voted in; they were laws that were passed by people that were voting,
state laws, yes, sir.
People that were in charge. And so when we talk about the fight to vote, I think you want to have a say-so in that, okay? Black people didn't have a say-so in what laws were being passed, what laws governed them. And this was like a foreshadow, and we're going to talk about this, but this is like a foreshadow to the black codes. But we're gonna get into that. But this idea of coming to this country, being restricted and being placed in bondage as a servant. Then you have this thing called Reconstruction. Right. or I should say, even before that, you have this thing called Civil War. Right. This battle to keep the institution of slavery alive in the South. And of course, we know how the Civil War ends. The Union, the North wins, but then there's this thing put into place called Reconstruction, which was from 1865 to 1877. Right? The federal government decided that we needed to reconstruct the South, basically to look like the North. Okay, that's basically what it was. Right? So Lincoln gets assassinated, and then this clown, Andrew Johnson, comes to power. He's actually the vice president, but he comes to power, and he basically rejects everything that Reconstruction stood for. Okay, blacks were given freedom.
Let's keep it the same.
Keep it the same. You had the Freedmen's
Bureau. Don't change a thing.
You had the Freedmen's Bureau that was set up. to advocate on the behalf of former slaves. They were there to settle disputes against whites because, at you know, I mean, blacks weren't even allowed to bring a charge against a white person. Okay, the courts, the people that were in. That were in elected positions because you had no say so in who got elected there. They ruled you. Okay. So then we had this thing called the Black Codes, right? The Black Codes, you know, what I say was pretty much a turn back to, what had already taken place in the slave codes. You know, they tried to toss something good in there, maybe. You know, in the black codes, you could marry now. Okay.
You can jump the broom, huh?
you could jump the broom, right? but I mean, these codes, man, they were set there to restrict African-American freedom. And you know, it compelled them to work in labor economy based on low wages and debt. It was a part of a larger pattern of Southern whites trying to suppress again the new freedom of emancipated slaves. I mean, and you see why did they want to why did they want to suppress former slaves? Question, bro.
I'm like in shock right now. You know, you're raising a bunch of different scenarios in which brings to my attention immediately that, you know, voting is kind of important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, I think, you know, blacks have been kind of tricked into thinking, you know, even from the past, that their vote can't possibly make anything happen. Even though there's a reason why we've been tricked out of it for so long. There was a reason why you weren't able to have a voice for so long. So why do you think they, you know, people would try to keep it from you if it wasn't such a big deal? And so former slaves having the right to vote would have a pretty different opinion about some things than people who were free already, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was during this time where blacks started to get into politics. You know, you had your first black senator, Harlan Revel. You know, folks like John Lynch got into the House of Representatives. You had blacks became justice of peace. I mean, you had blacks that were holding positions now in the South. Why? Because it was so important for your voice to be heard, because decisions are being made just like today
under your nose
about your life. Okay. About, you know, I just voted, man. I just did my, my absentee ballot, you know, and, I had to do some research, man.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, some of these folks that were on the ballot, I was like, I don't know who this, but this is for to retain the, you know, the Oklahoma Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. No, I want to look him up. Mm-hmm. I want to know what his voting record is. I want to know what his opinions are. Mm-hmm. We live in social media. You can just Google somebody right now. And a couple of them, I was like, no.
And the thing is that now, like, having to even pick a side, Democratic or Republican, you have to agree on that one side for all causes.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
And, you know, they'll say, even in the campaign, you know, make sure to vote Democratic all the way through, or, yeah, you know, something to hint to that. But it's like you said, man, we need to do more research. There are even things that are past, even the presidential election, that are going to be on the ballot that you need to know about, that are going to impact you and your city and your state directly. We have state questions here in Oklahoma that are coming up and going to be on our ballots. So I would encourage all to go out and research those questions to know what you're going to answer, you know, yes or no, for whatever reason. And, you know, make a educated decision, inform yourself, get the information. And
absolutely. There is, again, all you have to do is Google it. There is a form out there. It's a PDF. You can download it that has a synopsis of all the state questions. Real easy, readable. Because, you know, sometime on the ballot, they try to trick
man.
You.
You know, that's something else. even I thought to myself, you know, and I was having this conversation, if you know, you had been discounted for so long, not really knowing or understanding what voting is about, not really knowing or understanding what the wording is about, can be very disheartening in a sense that, how does this apply to me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an educated person. I'm not a voter. I'm not somebody who can understand this language that they're using to explain what's going to be coming next. And a lot of those things have kept us for so long from even going because we've had issues in literacy, in comprehension, and these other areas that are bigger than even the vote itself. So, man, it really is a multi-layered problem.
Yeah. And if you need help understanding, you need to find somebody. You know, you need to.
Who would be a good resource?
Well, I think if you lean
Google, first of all.
Yeah, and I think if you lean toward one party or another, I mean, you can contract your local chapter and go into the office and get educated on who the candidates are. I mean, we're just a week and plus away from the election, so you got to do it quick. I mean, I think, you know, voting is not as simple as just going in there and picking a name. As being an educated voter, being aware of the issues that are on the ballot and how it is best serves you and your community. I mean, so even in the sense of, you know, as I said, being a citizen, for so long, Black people, Native American people,
women
were not. Well, see, I can't use that for women because, you know, white women were always considered citizens. They just wasn't given the right to vote. Okay. But we can say minority folk were not considered citizens. And so, folk, when we come back, we're going to talk. We're talking about the fight to vote. And when we come back, we're going to go into this idea of, first of all, just to be recognized as a citizen was a struggle. Hang in there. We're going deep. It's important to realize that your vote counts. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbean, and the show is also available on blackandstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. DT?
Man, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Our song is smooth, man. So let me just put that out there one time.
Man, I love hearing it. I love hearing it. Just amazing, amazing. And folks,
you guys,
again,
you voted for it, and here it is.
That's right.
The One Mic, One Voice.
And you can also go, you can download it on iTunes, support the show. Please do that. Show us some love. Show Josh K. Leah Marie some love by downloading the show. You probably can get it on just about every platform that's out there. But let's talk about this thing for a moment. Citizenship, right? Because we talked about slavery, slave codes, the black codes, And let me just toss in for just a second the Dred Scott case. Okay, this was a famous case about a slave that and folks, you can look it up. Dred Scott, D-R-E-D Scott. And I really encourage you just to read about this case. Here was a slave that his owner took him all around the country, took him into some free states. And so the case is a deep case because he sued his owners on several occasions to get his freedom. Right. He got married. They had a baby in a free state. And the Supreme Court and one of the and you will find that law professors will many of them consider this to be the worst decision the Supreme Court ever came down with. It was a 7-2 decision. And it also goes on to say that the President Buchanan at the time had hit one of his best friends were on the court, and he intervened and put pressure on the court. But they denied the fact that this man was a citizen. He was considered because he was a slave, not a citizen.
It's called held that a Negro whose ancestors were imported into the U.S. and sold as slaves, whether enslaved or free, could not be an American citizen and therefore had no standing to sue in federal court, and that the federal government had no power to regulate slavery in the federal territories acquired after the creation of the United States.
That's pretty good, bro.
Right.
Man, you're British, brother. Man, you just broke out a whole nother. You got the fist bump from Richard. You broke out a whole new. See, man, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to step up, man. He just always going to another level on me, man. But that you.
I was just recreating how I may have read back then, right, as they were letting this black man know you don't even have rights to sue against your slave owner. Go back to being a slave.
Here is a man, okay, has a wife, has a child. Not even considered really a human being, right? I mean, the slave codes, and we didn't go deep into that, but considered slaves to be real estate.
Property, as you mentioned earlier.
Okay. Like this table we got right here. This fine table Richard made, right?
Put a price on it.
That's it.
Sold.
Okay. I mean, that. So this idea again of not being able to put into office those people that are making decisions upon your life. And to say, I don't like either one of them, so I ain't going to vote.
Mm-hmm. And we hear so many of that.
You know, you like the brother told me on Facebook, you just doing what your master wants you to do. You know nothing about history because your master never wanted you to vote. That's how he kept you in your servitude, because you had no input on the laws that govern you. Okay. That's why there was this struggle to vote. The Constitution, DT, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, right? Adopted on July 9th, 1868. It was one of the Reconstruction Amendments. The amendment addressed citizenships and rights and equal protection of the law. We hear that today, and was proposed in response to the issue related to former slaves following the Civil War. The amendment was bitterly contested, right, by the Southern states. That's no shock, which were forced to ratify it in order for them to regain representation in Congress. That's the only reason why they ratified. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they had no input. Okay. That's what we need to understand. Okay, they were stripped of their ability to participate. So they were in the same position as a slave. Mm-hmm. Right. They said, no. We're going to ratify this thing because, you know what? We have to have a voice. How can we sit here as black and brown people, as women, okay, and not realize the importance of voting and the struggle through which we have traveled to get to that point where people will even recognize us as having the ability to participate. Let's talk about women for a minute. Okay. One time, you know, it was time in history where a woman couldn't even open up a bank account without her husband's permission. Okay. Hmm. Let's just say that, right? Couldn't even do that, right? Couldn't even go out and get a job. Okay. Unless the husband said it was okay.
Not this time, honey.
No, no. All, your role was simply housekeeping, having babies, right? But you had the women's suffrage movement. You had you had the feminist movement. Well, women said, no. I am a human being. I have a mind. I am capable. There was laws passed that restricted, even when women started working, DT, that restricted the number of hours they could work because it said they were the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm. Not capable.
Not capable. Man, how foolish is that? So what I'm saying today is that, man, this election is right in our faces. We had to fight to get out of slavery. We had to fight just to simply move around in this country. We had to fight to become citizens. Just citizens. You know, not we haven't got to the right to vote yet. Just to be citizens, we had to fight to be recognized, man, as human beings. We had to fight.
And that's such a sad reality, man, to think that, you know, your contribution to this country didn't even grant you the inclusion into it. You know, you helped build it, helped cultivate it, help it thrive.
Yeah.
And you don't belong here. This ain't the place for you. Are you kidding me?
Why? Why is the question? Why?
Because you're black.
Because of the skin that you are in.
From African descent.
Isn't that amazing, man? I mean, when
we brought you over here, we don't want you here.
I mean, it's
for good anyway.
It's hard to even begin to take that in and take it seriously, right? Mm. Like I know it exists. I know racism, bigotry. I understand that it exists. But it's hard for me to look at myself in the mirror, DT, and say I'm less because of the skin that I am. Yeah. It's hard for me to look at our white brothers and sisters and say you're better because you have less pigment. Okay,
that's the complexes, man.
I mean, it's like, and the fact that we're having this conversation based upon like Okay, let me ask you a question, okay? Whether you believe in God or, you know, you call him the creator or whatever, did anybody come to you while you were in the womb and said, I'm going to name you Deshaun Thornton? And what color would you like to be? Would you like to be black or white or what color eyes? What kind of hair would you like to have? And where would you like to? Who would your? What kind of parents do you? Did that ever happen to you?
No, not at all. You know,
I mean, it sounds silly, right?
Even trying not to laugh to you explaining it is like you said, it's like so silly. But at the same time, it's like, man, I might have wanted to stack the. I might want to have checked the stats chart, like. Okay, what color is popping out there right now? Right, who's got the favor? You know what I mean? Right. What color eyes do they like most?
Exactly. What kind of talents does that guy have? And, right. You know, how smart is he? I mean, we none of us have any input on what we look like, what country we are born in, what family we're born to, what community we come into. None of us, right? But we make that a determinant upon
lots of things.
Who you are, your intellect, your level of criminality, your integrity. You know your value. Mm-hmm. All of that is based upon something that none of us control. Okay. White control. Privilege.
You know, there's an anxiety in not being able to control things. Those all being things that are totally out of our hands. You know, what you hear people all the time say, man, if I was just a little bit thinner, if I was a little bit fast, if I was a little bit prettier, you know, all of these things that, I mean, on the surface level may have some significance, but at the end of the day, you still have to face yourself. You know, we talked about this, being able to look at yourself in the mirror and be okay with that image, you know, inside and outside. And it's not without fault that we all, you know, live and exist, but at the same time, we don't control everything, you know, and those things that are outside of our control are just that, you know, that only bring us more anxiety, more worry, more pain, trying to control something that is not possible to do.
If I said to you today, or asked this question to you and to our listeners, what does the poster of an American citizen look like?
I've seen studies on this. I don't know if I should talk about it. I'll talk to you about it off the mic first. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be somebody who looked like me. By definition, I wouldn't. I mean, that would be the census of ideas. You know, black dude, dreads, he's Jamaican.
Yeah,
African or something like that. That would be other things that came up first. People looking at my picture and then the picture of somebody like Donald Trump.
I would go as far as to say that whether people want to admit it or not, the American citizen, the poster, would be somebody white, not a person of color. And matter of fact, which is sad because from the outset of this country, the people's invaded a country that already had people in it, Native peoples. I mean, we didn't make Jesus white. He was a Jew. Okay, he wasn't Caucasian. Okay, we tried to normalize everything as whiteness,
whitewashing,
and it's a disservice to the history of this country when you have. Just about every race on the planet has been in this country forever. Okay. Forever. Okay. The Japanese have been here. I mean, just Asian Americans, let's just say this, have been here. Folks from South America have been here. Matter of fact, we took over territory that belonged to countries in South America. So the reality is when we talk about citizenship, right, the true American citizen is one of many colors. No one race owns citizenship, and the fight to break those shackles, because at one time that's all they wanted. Matter of fact, Native Americans were not considered citizens. We took over your country, but you can't be a citizen. Well, you just took my country. What do you mean? I've been here all my life. No, you're not. You're not. That was part of the slave codes. They couldn't. Native Americans were also held in bondage. So, but we had this vote. We had this vote for citizenship, right? And we gained citizenship, right? Right. So everything's great, right?
Finally on the team, yes. We've made it. Hey, congratulations, guys. Come on, join me. It's all of us, not just me. So you're a citizen too.
Dred Scott, his dream to be a citizen came true for black folks with the 14th Amendment, right? Folks, but that didn't do it. That didn't give us the right to vote. Although we were citizens, didn't give us the right to vote. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what theoretically gave us the right to vote. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook, and Twitter.
And blackandstudios.com.
So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
We love you.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back, folks. Oh, this fight to vote wasn't easy.
Nice.
It's still not easy.
Still a challenge.
If we connect this with voter suppression laws that are coming up, that are popping over the place, the fight to vote still continues. Mm. And, you know, when we think about becoming a citizen and, as you say, becoming part of the team now, but we still didn't have the right to vote till really the 15th Amendment.
Okay, so the 15th Amendment of the Constitution, so adopted in 1870, stipulates the rights of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So that means whether you're a free slave or not, whether you're white, whether you're yellow, whether you're orange. Hey, this new amendment gave rights for everybody and not to be discriminated against.
Well, yeah, theoretically it did, right? I mean, it's on
paper, as we say, huh?
On paper, right? It would be, one would consider it a victory. Okay, to have a piece of legislation that would basically put the question of race, the question of whether your parents were or grandparents were slaves, it would put that to rest. But still realize this, you're still talking about men. You're not talking about women, right? Because this is 1870.
That's
right?
Still, oh man.
So this is what people don't understand. This is still only talking about men, right? Okay, women are not worthy of the vote in their eyes, not in my eyes, in their eyes, right? So you have this 15th Amendment, right? 1870, but we know what happened in the. You had Jim Crow, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Crow comes walking in. You know, he doing this little
jigging.
Right? He comes in, and Jim Crow says, nah, Plessy versus Ferguson, right? Folks, the Supreme Court case, separate but equal, right? Mm-hmm. Plessy was somebody that was
color only.
Trying to, you know, take, he tried to sit in the front of the rail car, and then he challenged because he was real, you know, he was a light-skinned person, probably could have passed for white. And no, you, as long as we can have separate but equal. So that's where we got all the Jim Crow laws, where blacks had to go in the back to get food. Blacks couldn't drink at the same water fountain, couldn't use the same bathroom. They went to the theater, they had to sit up in the top. They couldn't go down, couldn't even sit in the front in church. They had to have a segregated place. I wouldn't even go to it. When I heard about black folks going to white churches and having to be segregated, are you kidding me? I wouldn't even go to a church where I couldn't sit where I want to sit.
Are they praising the same person?
Same person. Lord. Same person. I mean, separate but equal.
Now, was it equal, though? Because
of course not.
I've heard. So, I mean, we've seen it all. But, you know, I read a story about the first time a colored girl had drank from the white only fountain and was so like amazed at how good the water was.
Much better.
Yeah. Mm. And so even separate but equal. And I'm thinking to myself, life is a perspective. So even from the vantage point of being in the front, there's something different to see than being in the back, or maybe not able to see it all.
Yeah.
Having the taste of nasty water, you know, as opposed to drinking clean water, make you feel a little different about things.
And I wonder, was it, it could have been even psychological too, right?
And that's, you know, even, yeah.
Because somehow the white water fountain might have been from the same, you know, the same plumbing, right? But it just tastes better.
Yeah.
Because it is better, right? Because I can't go there. Like a white person could drink from a black fountain if they want to. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened to them. They might get ridiculed from their white counterparts, but they wouldn't be hauled off the jail.
They probably did it all the time.
Probably, maybe they
just
did.
Just to see. I wonder what the black water tastes like. And that was their right to do so.
Kind of sweet.
But don't you put your lips on that white only. I mean, don't you do it.
So, man, you know, you had this amendment, right? But then we roll past Jim Crow, or Jim Crow continues on into the 60s. And then you have this intense voting rights struggle. Mainly, well, it was around the country, but Mississippi became like this hotbed. My grandparents, matter of fact, were one of the houses that they lived near Greenwood, one of the houses that took in those who came down to register Mississippians for blacks to vote. They let them stay at their houses. I mean, we're all familiar. If you're not, all you got to do is Google it. Freedom Summer, you know, in 63, when, you know, we had this intense struggle that ended with the death of Medgar Evers, okay, the civil rights leader, the president of NAACP, was assassinated, right? See, when folks say to me, man, I don't like either one of them, I'm not going to vote. I think about Brother Medgar. I think about the work that he put in. I think about my grandparents and the fear they must have had to have them stand in their tiny little house, okay? Because that time they didn't have running water, okay? I think about that, man, and I hear and it angers me to people to have such a disconnect from their own history. For a black person that is eligible to vote, to not vote, to me is a disgrace, DT. It's a disgrace because your foremothers and forefathers died. They went to the polls. Oftentimes, they were beat back. The Klan came through, burned their houses down, killed their children, intimidated them. Yet, you tell me.
That ain't important.
Man, I ain't voting.
That's stupid, man.
Don't nothing change with my life.
Man, how much time change the world one vote, man? Huh? Man, tell me, huh?
1 + 1 is what? 2. Keep adding it up, fool. I'm here to tell you, man, it's ridiculous that we are so disconnected from even, man, it ain't even, DT, it hasn't even been that long. That's what's shocking to me. Okay. It hasn't been that long. I mean.
Shout out to Mega Evers, though. Remember for saying you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea.
Man. And they killed many. They killed many people trying to exercise their constitutional right.
What the heck is a constitution, man? Okay.
Then we had this legislation, this Voting Rights Act of 1965. Some people consider this a landmark piece of legislation that that I think some would argue that it's the most profound that President Johnson did. Of course, we know after the assassination of President Kennedy, this is during the height of the civil rights movement, August 6, 1965, designed to enforce the voting rights guaranteed by the 14th and 15th Amendment to the Constitution. It secured voting rights for racial minorities throughout the country, especially in the South. Voting Rights Act. If voting wasn't so important, why do we need that? I mean, we had the 14th Amendment. We were citizens. We had the 15th Amendment, which said that, guess what? Just because I'm black, you can't prevent me from voting. That did do it, man. So, come on. Three pieces of critical legislation just to get us to the polls. But it ain't important, man. It ain't important. It ain't important, DT. You know, it's what? It means nothing, right? What about poll taxes? Okay. You gotta pay but you know, if you wasn't a property owner, you didn't have that type of money to go in there. I mean, they even had they would have a jar full of marbles, and you had to guess how many marbles were in it.
All types of tricks they use, huh?
And grandfather clause for poor white folks that couldn't read or write, couldn't read the Constitution like black folks. Mm-hmm. They had if your grandfather, your great grandfather, somebody in your life voted, you can vote. Well, ex-slaves who voted? So you were just done, okay? Imagine for a moment here, because I can imagine back then a black man would put on his best outfit.
Oh, man.
Right? He shined his shoes up.
And a knife on him.
I'm going to vote today. He get dressed up,
check
man.
Check yourself in the mirror before he left the house. Honey, how I look? I'm going in.
You look good. Right. So he go down there.
Tips his hat, gives her a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and he's out the door.
He's out the door. And he's going down there. And
probably walking.
And when he gets close, he sees all this ruckus going on.
What that's going on down there?
People yelling. Okay. He see these white robes. Mm-hmm. But he's determined.
There's a... Halloween or what's going on?
He's determined to get to the polls, right?
Yes, I'll keep on going.
He keeps going. He keeps going. But all of a sudden, he gets closer, man. He's seeing black folks getting clubbed, beat.
What the hell?
What is he supposed to do?
I think I might turn around.
He can either turn around or go in there and try to do what constitutionally is his right. Okay. But we got people on November 8th that will sit in their houses on their couch and will not budge. Okay. And talk about how messed up this country is on November 9th.
November 9th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, that is an intellectual sickness. Because you don't understand what's at stake here. You have no idea what folks went through. You
honor. And are still going through.
Still going through.
To get you now with the ability to move your feet off the couch and into a pole somewhere. That's funny.
I tell you what. I don't know how else to encourage people to take up this obligation. I mean, if you don't vote, your kids won't vote. If they don't see you do it, if you got kids and you poisoning them with your intellectual sickness, then they're going to be a generation that doesn't vote. Okay.
And then what if they all of a sudden and put back in place that if your ancestors voted, then so can you. And they'll look back and it won't be anybody taking you off the list again.
probably not even on the list, probably not even registered. Folks, we winding down. We still here. We doing what we got to do. November 8th is coming up. We are obligated, all of us, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whoever.
German? Wait a minute.
Whoever. You, if you can vote, please vote. Folks, we'll be right back.
This is Elijah Bailey.
This is Richard Taplin.
From the Elijah Bailey Show, bringing you all the content that you could ever desire about anime, manga, comic books, martial arts, fitness, and more.
You can find us at Elijah Bailey Show on the official Facebook page and also Elijah Bailey Show without the W on Twitter and Instagram.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and rate on iTunes and Podbean.
This is Quraysh Ali, Lansana, poet, author, educator, and Oklahomie, and when I listen to podcasts, I'm on that one mic, one voice joint.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, I'm loving the show. I mean, because it is it's educational, it is timely, it's something that we need to be talking about, not only at our kitchen tables, but in the classrooms, 101, we need to be encouraging everybody to take your grandmama, your kids, take them to the polls, even with you, like Chad said last week, so they can witness that.
Right.
Cousins, uncles, aunts, take them all to the polls so they can vote. But, man, it's, you know, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback, man, about the One Mic Minute.
Oh, yeah, man. And, you know, that's definitely something you and I wanted to do, to just try and keep everybody encouraged. You know, it gets sticky out there. It gets thick. And it just feels good to have, you know, a confident voice to let you know that things are looking up or are going to be all right. So One Mic Minute is killing it.
And you can get it. You can Google One Mic Minute. You can get it on our Facebook page. You can definitely go to YouTube, folks, and subscribe to it so that when it comes out, you're the first to get it. You know, it's like that hot off the press. Uh-huh. And it don't take long, man. It's just a minute.
1 minute. Just
you know,
one minute,
man. It might be 63 seconds, though. I saw one that was a little bit more than a minute.
That's okay. It's a minute-ish.
Yeah, minute-ish. So, one mic minute-ish.
Between 1 minute and 1 minute and 59 seconds. Right. It'd be 1 minute-ish.
1 minute-ish. We've come a long way. We've come a long way in this country for the struggle to cast your vote. It's deeper than one election. It's deeper than DT simply going up there and picking out a person. Mm. You're saying that, number one, I'm human, right? I have an intellect, have an aptitude. I can reason. And you're also saying that this is my right. Mm. You can't take this right from me. You may have taken it from my ancestors, but I'd be damned if you're gonna take this from me today. This is what this is saying. Matter of fact, our greatest act of protest for what's going on in this country is to vote. Because you were never meant to. So DT, as we approach November 8th, our greatest act of protest is to simply to say, look, yeah, my voice is on the table.
Look, I care about what's happening in my life.
I can make some decisions, right? Because I'm a man or I'm a woman. I'm a thinking human being. I can make decisions, and you will not take that right from me, okay?
I'll not let you have total control.
If you want to sit back on November 8th and be a spectator, like you watch an OU football game or something. You want to be a couch potato, okay? With your remote control. All I can say is November 9th, shut up. November 10th, shut up. Okay? January 10th, shut up. For the whole 4 years, don't even open up your mouth about anything that's going on in our country, on the local level, on the state level, on the national level. Don't even open up your mouth. Why? Because you are voiceless. Voiceless. Invisible.
You know, what's funny to me is that even like you're saying, it's more than just that day when you go and pick whoever you pick for whatever reason. And not to understand what's going to be happening from now until then and forever, why these things are important and are connected. So it's not only important for me to go out and cast my vote on November 8th, but also to understand the details of my vote, the details of these people, the characters, the representatives, the people who are going to be put in place to lead me to you know, guide our future. I need to know about, you know, all parts of what's happening.
Absolutely. Make intelligent decisions. And in closing, I hear these people talk about how they want to. I don't like both of them, but I'm going to vote, and I'm just going to go ahead and just vote for the third party. Well, third party's not going to win, number one. And a vote, listen, a vote for a third party candidate is a vote for Donald Trump. It's a vote for Trump, okay? Now, if you want to really see, okay, the underside of American society, the horrors of the past, present, and today, go ahead and vote for Donald Trump. You see it. You want to see a imbalance in international relations like we've never seen in our lifetime? Vote for Donald Trump. If you want to stick it to the government, stick it to the establishment, go ahead, vote for Donald Trump. But let me say this to you, okay? You will be making the worst mistake of your life because you will be voting for everything, every principal thing that you and most Americans stand for. If we don't move together, we're not going to move at all, DT, because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, Scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can beat the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.